Israel's deliverer, divider of the sea, the conqueror of Jericho, Jehovah set them free. Some think of these as fables with no relevance today, but God's past power never passed away. The great I am. To make things right, to stranded souls in darkness who long to see the light, to those who tread a troubled road and feel they can't go on, there is a promise we can stand upon. The great I am still is. The heavens and the earth are His. He's the merciful and mighty, forever holy. In everything we must remember this. The great I am still is.
Japanese as konbanwa. Not too many brave souls here. Konbanwa. I'm going to show a video tonight of our work, of our 40. This year will be 42 years that we've been in Japan, and show you a little bit about what the Lord is doing there in Japan. Let me first of all introduce my wife, Glenda. She's with me tonight, right down here. And then also my mother, Peggy, is also with me. She's been traveling with us since the beginning of January. After this, we're going home, which is in Michigan right now. But 2 months of traveling. And but my mother has, my mother and father have always been my two of my biggest supporters. They've always been praying for me. And I know God has answered their prayer. And so there are, they are a very important part of my ministry all these years, and so I'm glad I've been able to bring them along with me. But just as my mother has been a big part of my ministry, it goes without saying you have been too. You all are a very, very important part of our work in Japan. And, you know, we've tried to be faithful to our calling. And I know that you have been faithful on your part here on supporting us, praying for us. And so I want my wife and I wanted to come and relay personally our heartfelt thanks for your support to our ministry. And we really, really thank you so much. And, you know, missionary work and church work too, Pastor, you know, it takes a commitment of all of us, of all the church members. And missionary work takes a commitment not only of the missionary, but also of the churches that send them and to be successful. And all the work, all the giving, sacrificing has to be backed by prayer. And then by that we can see how God can truly do the miraculous wherever He sends us. So with that, I hope that you'll enjoy seeing a little bit of what God has blessed through your faithfulness to our ministry. Okay? Thank you.
Come with us on a brief journey to see what God is doing in Tokyo, Japan. We are your missionaries, Dave and Glenda Carter. We would like to introduce you to our work here on the western side of Tokyo at the Akigawa Baptist Church, named after the Akigawa River that runs through our city. This is the fourth work that God has allowed us to start since we've begun serving in Japan. Japan is economically and technologically advanced, but the bright lights of the city are not able to illuminate their spiritual darkness as they continue to hold to the ancient traditions of worshiping idols and ancestors. They have no hope of eternal life and are unsure about which way to turn as they follow their many gods and offer prayers to empty shrines, sometimes waiting for hours to say a quick 30-second prayer. Glenda and I arrived in Japan in the summer of 1976. We have spent over 41 years planting four churches in various areas of metropolitan Tokyo. Before we came to Japan, we had little knowledge of what to expect. But a year before we arrived, we met a Japanese pastor named Hiroyuki Omote while he was visiting in the States. He recalls that meeting even today.
I was in 1975, その一つの教会でダビデ・カーター先生と出会う機会が与えられました。それは1975年の夏でございました。先生はその時に私が日本人であるということを気づかれて、私のところに来られて、日本の教会の状況、日本人における福音の必要について熱心に語られ、その時カーター先生は日本の宣教に重荷がある、このような話しかけをしてくださいました。素晴らしいことに、その後カーター先生は日本に宣教師として来られて、そして今日までもう42年近く日本で忠実に宣教を、伝道を続けてくださいました。その先生の働きを通してたくさんの日本人の魂が救われました。先生の息子さんも米国で訓練を受けられ、また日本に戻ってこられ、日本で伝道してくださっていることは、私たち日本のクリスチャンにとって、また日本の伝道者にとって大変大きな励ましであり、 慰めでございます。
The first church we started in Japan was on the eastern side of Tokyo, in a city called Takashima Daira. We started the church in the middle of a massive complex of high-rise apartment buildings. There were many who trusted Christ here, including one fifth grade boy who received an invitation to come to church at a park one day.
私の名前は須田清です。私は日本の東京に生まれました。そして4歳の時にこの高島平に引っ越してきました。この場所は高島平団地の一つの公園がある場所です。私は11歳の時にこの公園で友達と遊んでいました。ブランコに乗っていました。4人乗りの向かい合わせのブランコで、その時はこちらの一つ目の木ともう一つの木の間にそのブランコがありましたけれども、そのブランコに友達と乗っていました。そうしましたら外国人が、背の高い外国人が近づいてきました。そして紙切れのようなものをいただきました。その時一緒にいた友達が、あそこに行くと鉛筆がもらえるよと言ってくれました。あ、鉛筆がもらえるんだったら行ってみようと私は思いました。そして次の日曜日から私は教会に通うようになりました。もしもその外国人に出会っていなければ、私はイエス様に出会うことがなかったかもしれません。その外国人というのはデビッド・カーター宣教師です。
From that day, Kiyoshi started attending church each week. It wasn't too long after thatthat he put his faith in Christ. After years of continual discipling and steady spiritual growth, God called Kiyoshi to preach. And after graduating Bible college, he became the pastor of a church that we started a few years later called Kawagoe New Life Baptist Church.We ask for your continued prayers for the Holy Spirit's clear direction in our lives in the coming years. With Steve becoming the new pastor of our latest church, Akigawa Baptist Church, it has given us the freedom to preach in other national churches throughout Japan. Pastoring in Japan is not easy, and many national pastors are struggling to make ends meet, often requiring them to work a full-time job while pastoring.Though they are proud to be serving our Lord in the ministry and are faithful to their calling, they still need encouragement. We have a great desire to be a help to as many of these faithful pastors and wives, as well as their ministries, that we can, and to continue to be used of the Lord wherever and however God leads us. The iconic announcement of spring through the beautiful cherry blossomsHas been a continual reminder to us of the new life we have in Christ. This new life through the risen Son of God is our gospel message to the land of the rising sun. Thank you for your faithfulness in partnering with us for the salvation of these precious souls here in Japan.
My wife and I will be returning to Japan in a few months. We've been, as we've mentioned in the video a little bit, we have a little bit of different direction that we will be going in as we return. With my son Stephen now pastoring my church, it's opened up a door for us to travel. And to, as we mentioned in the video, to travel and be try to be a blessing to a lot of the national pastors that are there, and as well as new missionaries. I'll get a little bit more into that as we open up the scriptures and as I give my message tonight. But I would like for you to open up your Bibles, if you would, to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. As I've traveled with my mother, my wife, and have been able to visit my churches, I've really been encouraged by my supporting pastors. I haven't been trying to raise support. I've just been wanting to report to our churches and share with them the ministry that God is leading, and also just to thank them for what they've done for us over the years, their faithfulness to us over the years. We've been encouraged by all of our churches, our pastors, and it's good to get back and see them again. And Pastor Angel and his wife, it's good to get back and see them again as well. You know, one day, the disciples said to Jesus in Luke 8:20, your mother and brothers are outside wanting to see you. And Jesus answered, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. And tonight, I do not have just my mother here. I have many mothers. I have many mothers here. And I didn't have any brothers growing up. I had five sisters, and I'm the only boy. But tonight, I have many brothers here because I believe that you have the desire to do the things that God has called us to do. Because I have no brothers, I have had one cousin who was like a brother to me, but you know, that's sometimes that's the difficulty of being a missionary, when you have to leave your family, and when you have to leave them behind, the only son, and because of that, my preacher in when we went to the field, when I went to the field, Brother Hiles was my pastor at that time, and it was in 1976, and it was in July. It was the day before we left to go to Japan. It was on a Wednesday night. Brother Hiles read a poem that he had written just for my mother, and with Pastor Angel and his wife also being missionary parents, I thought it'd be appropriate to read the poem that he wrote to my mother and to my wife's parents. The poem is entitled, I Give My Son to You Today, and it goes like this. I give my son to you today, for I just heard the doctor say, a little one will come your way. Then soon the father did employ a wiggly lad, incarnate joy, to bring to me a preacher boy. I give my son to you today. Before travail has fled away, I want to faintly, humbly pray. He's yours. Do with him as you will. And, oh, dear God, oh, please instill in his small breast the noble thrill of letting you direct his path and giving to you all he hath. I give my son to you today. Methinks mine ears do not betray. They tell me that they heard him say, dear Heavenly Father, I now yield to serve thee on a foreign field. Imagination did not view the day I gave him first to you that you would take him o'er the sea so far away from Dad and me. I give my son to you today. Alas, the time has come to say, O God, please give me strength to say, not my will but thine be done. Dear Lord, I give to you my son. Yes, many moons will come and go, and many winds will howl and blow, while little ones are born and grow, so many things we will never show like other grandmas here below. No ride the horsey on my knee or sharing Yuletide's Christmas tree. No helping pull a baby tooth or drooling at the popcorn booth. No Friday trips to tour the zoo or baby playing peekaboo. No picnic fun on Labor Day or sleeping through the grade school play. No trip to Granddad's house to play or Grandma, I got saved today. No sharing gifts on Christmas morn or blowing on a birthday horn, while little ones with eyes awake blow candles on a birthday cake. I gave my son to you today. Steel birds will bear them far away, as vultures swoop to snatch their prey. Each minute takes them 10 more miles toward those who die on distant isles. Because I die, they soon will live. I'm glad I had a son to give. I give my son to you today, as sleepy minutes crawl away. His room heaves forth a saddened sigh, nostalgic for the messy guy who used to give a failing try to keep it clean and neat. Oh my. While shrines are made of every toy once cuddled by our preacher boy. I give my son to you today. I wish he weren't so far away. And yet the time will surely come when all of them will journey home. We'll mop and wax and paint and clean and shed warm tears of joy between the shouts of joy. They'll soon be here. Huge doves will fly to hangars near to bring the ones we hold most dear. We'll pack into a few short days the Easter suit and Christmas plays, the picnics, parks, and hot dogs too, and take that trip to tour the zoo. And all the things that grandpas do will spoil them rotten through and through. I give my son to you today, for once again they go away. It seems I've walked this way before, a lonely drive, an airport door, a choking throat, a smile disguised, a heavy heart, two moistened eyes. Goodbye, my son, I'm proud of you. A part of me is leaving too. That vulture's come instead of dove to bear away the ones I love. And so I walk away again, when suddenly I feel a hand. I look to see the Father's face. He offers me His strength and grace. Through tears I hear Him kindly say, I know the pain you feel today. I have a son I gave for thee, and you have one you gave to me. And so, my dear, as He bears fruit, I'll be to you His substitute. And soon will come that happy day when none shall ever go away. Shh, I hear the Father say, dear faithful parents, hear my call. You may be giving most of all. You gave your son to me today. And so, as we once again have an opportunity to share with you the things that God has done in the ministry, we know that a lot of times it takes the sacrifice of parents. And I am thankful, so thankful. My dad passed away 4 years ago, but I am thankful for my mom and dad, for my parents, and for all of you parents who have a missionary on the field. You know exactly the thoughts that was read just now. Tonight I would like for you to think just a few moments with me on the doors that God seems to be opening for us as Christians. And that door I'd like to present to you tonight is in 2 Samuel chapter 5. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 6 and 7. The door that God is opening to us is the door for missions, the door of taking the gospel to the lost people around the world. Now think of all the great leaders, folks, tonight that Israel has had in its past. We think of Abraham. We think of Moses. And we think of Joshua and Gideon. We think of David. And we think how God blessed each of these men. God opened the doors for them actually no man could ever shut. And one of these men, David, has become a prime example of how God opened the door of Jerusalem for David. And that city today is still considered the city of David. As you know, recently President Trump declared Jerusalem the capital of Israel. And immediately everybody gets up in arms about his statement. But the world will one day wake up to the fact that God gave that land to David and to his seed for an eternal inheritance. And we cannot disannul this fact. The day that President Trump announced that we would move our embassy, my son, my third son, John, he was standing right there at the Wailing Wall the day he announced it. And that was kind of a mixed feeling there with the Arabs standing around there. But anyway, 2 Samuel chapter 5 tells us where it all began. And in verse 6 it says, and the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same is the city of David. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to You and I thank You for Your most precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank You, Father, for Your Word that so brilliantly displays that great love of Yours that sent Him to this world of lost sinners, of who all of us, Lord, needed to be saved. And I thank You for this church allowing us, giving us the prayers and the support we need to take this gospel to the needy Japanese people. And I pray that You'd bless them tonight as we read the Word of God and as You speak to each of our hearts. And we look to You for Your guidance, Holy Spirit. We pray and thank You for this time together. Bless our fellowship here tonight in Your house. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so here we see in Daniel chapter 5, we don't know how Jerusalem fell into the hands of the Jebusites. At one time, King Saul had Jerusalem. But somewhere between King Saul and this time, they lost again the fort of Jerusalem. And so David and his men come to the fort of Jerusalem. And the king there of Jerusalem, the Jebusite king, stands there on the wall and looks out to David and his men. And basically he says, I'm not going to explain the whole verse, take the time to explain all of this. I believe I know what he's talking about here. But basically what he says, you'll come in here over my dead body. That's basically, you'll only come in here over my dead body. And it was over his dead body that David walked into the city and took Jerusalem. And from that day to this, it's called the city of David. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. And, one of the most amazing things is this king who thought he had the audacity to keep David and his men from entering that fort of Jerusalem. David had the wind of God at his back, and of course that king didn't realize that, but David had the wind of God at his back, and there was no stopping him. And look in verse 9, it says, So David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David, and David built round about from Milo and inward. And David went on and grew great. And the Lord God of hosts was with him. And if we keep reading to chapter 8, verse 6, in the latter part of verse 6, it says, The Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. And so with God's wind at his back, David continued to do amazing things. And, Jerusalem. It's an old city, one of the oldest cities in the Bible. In fact, it was first referred to as Salem in Abraham's day, and that's in Genesis chapter 14 and verse 18. It was first referred to as the city of peace. And it's called Salem symbolically in the Psalms, and poetically it is called Mount Zion because the city sits partly on the Mount of Zion. And even though there has been little peace in Jerusalem, there's been a lot of fighting and a lot of exchanging of hands of Jerusalem from people to people over the years, changing hands over and over. And even though the Jews and the Arabs are still fighting for the dominance of that city today, we know that all we can do is continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And one day, Jesus Christ will sit on the throne of Jerusalem and rule for 1,000 years from the city of Jerusalem. And, through the ages, Jerusalem has been typically been referred to as the place of blessing on earth. And it certainly will be that in the future day when Haggai prophesies in chapter 2 and verse 9, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord. And that's Haggai 2:9. We have all many Bible references to how Jerusalem is referred to as a place of blessing. And I will not go into all of that, but there are two things that we will establish at the beginning of this message. And number one is this. Jerusalem is the city which God chose to be His city for His people. In 1 Kings chapter 14 and verse 21, it says, Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put His name there. It is the chosen city of God for His people, number one. Number two is, after David, of course, there was Solomon, and then there was Rehoboam, Rehoboam didn't, at the end of Solomon, Rehoboam kind of went the way his father went and didn't please the Lord, and God took away a good portion of Israel, 10 of the tribes of Israel, and God gave them to Jeroboam. Now, Jeroboam, who is he in the Bible? Jeroboam could have been the next David. I mean, he could have been a great leader. We could have been talking about him over and over again, just like we talk about David, because God was going to give Jeroboam 10 tribes. But if you've read anything in the Old Testament, you find out that's not the direction that Jeroboam went. Even though God wanted to bless Jeroboam, just as He did with David, and even though the wind of God could have been behind him, and he could have been a great leader. But if you've read your Bible, you'll know that because Jeroboam did not want his people to go back to Jerusalem to worship, which is what God commanded them to do, to go to Jerusalem. That was the place of worship that God designated to offer sacrifice. You know what he did. He built two golden calves, wasn't it? Two golden calves, and set them up in the cities of Dan and Bethel, and told the people to go there to sacrifice. And that became the sin of Jeroboam. And you'll find that all throughout the Old Testament, how he took away the worship that God commanded away from Jerusalem and set up those two calves in Dan and Bethel, and that completely disobeyed God. Now, tonight, you probably ask me, well, what does this have to do with missions? What does it have to do with Japan? And I'm glad you asked me that. Well, it's this. You know, the kings of the earth and the people of this world think that they also can keep the Christians and the gospel from coming to their lands. And many of them will believe that the gospel cannot reach their hearts. But you know, if God is for us, the Bible says, who can be against us? And today, God is still on His throne, just as He was in the days of David. And God is still in the business of opening doors for His missionaries to enter, just as He was in David's day. The entire chapter of Revelation, chapter 3, refers to this when God references Christians in the end times as overcomers. And just before God closes the book of time, and just before the end of the world, when God Himself closes the door of history, we see hints of God opening doors that will never be closed. And we have clear references of God opening doors for the overcomers, just like He did for David. David was an overcomer. And in Revelation chapter 3, if you wouldn't mind just opening up your Bibles now, the book of Revelation chapter 3, and look in verse 6 and 7. There are today 195 countries around the world. And God is slowly but surely getting the gospel into these 195 countries in the world. Do you realize the Bible has been translated in almost all of these countries? Not quite yet. But do you realize the Bible has been translated into many, many tongues already? And the thing is, you know, when God called me to Japan, I had to go. It was as simple as that. And when God calls the missionary, He understands that calling. It is something He has to do. It is God opening the door for that missionary to take the gospel into that country. And, you know, even though there are few Christians in Japan, we're having the Olympics, we're in Korea, and they say that Korea is one of the countries that is taking the gospel into many, many other countries into the world today too. A huge number of Christians that are becoming missionaries as well. And so we sent the missionaries to Korea, and now Korea is sending out missionaries around the world. And even though there are not that many Christians in Japan, there has been a very, very profound influence of Christian missionaries in Japan over these many, many years. And look in Revelation chapter 3, and let's read verse 6. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Okay, what does the Spirit say unto the church? Verse 7. "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. Verse 8, I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." Here in verses 7 and 8, God talks about David here. He talks about that portion of Scripture that we just read in 2 Samuel chapter 5, where God gave basically the key of Jerusalem to David, and David went in there, and that's exactly what it's talking about. "He that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I have set before thee an open door and no man can shut it." This is talking about David, right? In 2 Samuel chapter 5, when David went into Jerusalem, God opened the door and no man can shut it. Jerusalem is still today the city of David. And nobody's going to take it away from him. But you know, in the same way that God is talking about David and that key, in the same way, God in our generation is opening doors for us in a spiritual sense to take the gospel to the world and to the people of the world. And if you read through the whole chapter of Revelation chapter 3, we won't, but you can see how God is referring to David in this chapter about King David. In verse 11, it talks about a crown. In verse 12, it talks about the temple of God, the city of God, the New Jerusalem. In verse 21, it's talking about a throne. And so what is it? Verse 22, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." What is he saying? He tells us that in our age, we have an open door to take the gospel to the world. And so now God is referring to us as overcomers. You know, we don't have to fear where God calls us. He'll go with us. He'll be with us. We don't have to fear that. And He just needs people to take the gospel. And my question is, will you become one of those overcomers in our day? Will you become a David and go where God may be calling you? Metropolitan Tokyo has 33 million people. 33 million people. It is one of the most expensive cities in the world. The most expensive city in the world. And yet God has opened doors for us all of these years, time and time again. Our last church, God opened it up for us to buy the property, to buy the building. It was a $450,000 home that we turned into our church. You say, do you have $450,000 in your back pocket? No, I didn't. I didn't have to. But it was about maybe thinking around 11, 12 years ago. It came up for sale and for $180,000. And we had been to the bank and already had been approved at a bank for $250,000. And so my realtor showed us the place, and we said, told him we want it. And so thinking we were going to be able to buy it, he called me back in two days later, and he said, we're sorry, but somebody else is going to buy it for cash. And so we were kind of disappointed. But then he called me 2 days later, and he said the man backed out of it. He said he had to buy the building as it was, and he didn't want to have to fix it up and everything. And so he backed out, and he says, if you want it, you can buy it. And that was just before a five-day holiday was to begin. The realtor had advertisements to pass out throughout all Western Tokyo to advertise the sale of this building. And if we would have waited 1 day later, that advertisement would have gone out, and somebody probably would have bought it before us. But but it just so happened that the Lord put that building into our hands, and the building that you saw on the screen tonight was one of those. And that's just one of the many ways that God has blessed and God has opened doors for us. And it continues to be. It continues to be open to take the gospel. And you know, there are doors, folks, that only God can open. And then there are doors that only you and I can open. And we if we read the rest of Revelation 3:20, it says here, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. As you know, most of you will know if you're saved, this is the door of our heart. And God says that we have to open that. God will not force His way into our life, into our hearts. We have to open that. And in Japanese, it says, Mio, watashi wa to no soto ni tatte tadaku. 誰でも私の声を聞いて戸を開けるなら私は彼のところに入って彼と共に食事をし彼も私と共に食事をする。Revelation 3:20. What a promise, huh? What a promise. And man, we get to share this with people who've never heard it before. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It doesn't get any better than that. しかし私たちがまだ罪人であったとき、キリストが私たちのために死んでくださったことにより、神は私たちに対してご自身の愛を明らかにしておられます。Romans 5:8. And man, what a rich opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Share these beautiful promises of God. And you know, the door of your heart is the only one that God cannot open. But I do believe that God is in the business of opening doors. And I would challenge young people today. I would challenge young people today to seek God's will for your life. Because somewhere in there, God's got something. In some way, God's got something for you to do with missions. I don't know what, but He's got something for you. And don't let that opportunity pass. Let me just share a little story with you. You know, when we turned our church over to Steve, my wife and I were praying about what God would have us to do. We thought about it, and if we started a church, it would take us about 15 years to get it planted. It takes about that long to get a church on its feet. We would be in our 80s. And then we wouldn't know if we have a Japanese pastor to turn it over to. So the more we prayed about it, the more we felt like God's not in this. And so we prayed, kept praying, and I was reading just about a year ago, I was reading in the book of Isaiah, And God kind of spoke to my heart in the passage of Scripture there. I probably won't be able to find it now. But God spoke to my heart. I think it's Isaiah chapter 20. No, it's not Isaiah chapter 20. Let me see here. I'll go through the whole book before I find it again, probably. I'll tell you what, I'll just go to my notes. let me see here. I have it written down here. Isaiah chapter 28. I knew I'd find it. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 29. It says here, "This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working." You know, the pastor is here to counsel. He wants to help anybody who has a need in their life. He's here to counsel. And that's part of what pastoring is all about. But you know, God, according to verse 29, God, it says, is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. And so we came across this, and it's like, God, you know, it's going to have to be you to show me what we are to do. And it was just a few days later when I came across Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 15. And it says, "In returning and rest." Isaiah 30 and verse 15, it says, "In returning and rest, ye shall be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." One thing that is difficult for a missionary is to stop, is to slow down. And, you know, we hadn't been to our churches reporting for 12 years. And God, through this verse, was saying, it's time for you to return, to find rest, get some quietness and confidence, and then come back to Japan. And through these verses, God spoke to us and said, it's time to return. And so that is the reason we are here. God said, report to your church. Get your confidence, get your strength back, and then return. And it's been 12 years. The last time that Glenda and I were home, we have churches that support us from Maine all the way out to New Hampshire. The church in Maine doesn't support us anymore, but that's okay. But we were headed out to a church that was supporting us in Maine. And on the way, we came through Massachusetts and went up the East Coast. And we came to a city called Salem, Massachusetts. Does anybody know what Salem, Massachusetts stands for? Anybody? What is it? Witches, right? Witches and witchcraft. And so we went into Salem, and then we went into the information center. And as we walked through the doors of the information center there in Salem, I was surprised to read something on the tract that I didn't know, and very few people know about Salem, Massachusetts. I read a plaque that said this: "America's first missionary," and then it had in parentheses Baptist, "left Salem Bay." And America's first missionary, Baptist missionary, left Salem Bay. Do you know what year that was? In the year 1812. And it was Adoniram Judson. And Adoniram Judson left Salem Bay and was there for 40 years. Served God with all of his heart, translated the Bible into Burmese that they still use today. What a great missionary. Our first missionary we sent out. Baptist missionary, by the way. We have a lot of heritage in that Baptist name, you know. There's a lot of churches today that are taking the name Baptist off their churches. And that's sad because there's a lot of heritage in the Baptist church. But you know what? Adoniram Judson wasn't always a Baptist. He's a Congregationalist. But the more he studied his Bible, he started studying his Bible, and the more he studied the Bible, the more he realized that his position, the true doctrinal position was the Baptist position, and so he became a Baptist. And you know, for the next 40 years, he never changed his doctrinal position again. What a great missionary. And I thought, You know, it's been 205 years from that time. 205 years. And we still have the vision and the burden to send out missionaries. Maybe not all the churches, but I'll tell you what, you leave these doors and you'll go back out there and you'll see all those missionaries that your church supports. You know why? Because we haven't lost that vision that we've had for 205 years. We haven't lost that burden. Preacher will bring in missionaries to preach, and he wants us to share our burden about the world and the need for the world, to take the gospel to the world, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for pastors who have still have that vision to reach the world for Jesus Christ. We haven't lost it. 205 years. And it's even gotten, we're now sending out missionaries even further and further into this world. But you know, you think about it, it hasn't been 205 years. It's been over 2,000 years that we've continued to have that vision for the world. For Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Zen sekani detiki subitano skularata moloni fkuin o nobestai nasai. 2,000 years we've continued that command that Jesus Christ gave us to take the gospel to the world. And we need to continue that. We need to go further. And if God calls, we have to go. Your son had to go. And if God calls, we have to go. And there may be some here that God wants to use for the mission field. You pray about what God would have you to do. But folks, we have still a world that is without Jesus Christ that needs to hear the gospel. And that's what we're all here about tonight. And I encourage you to get involved in missions in some way or another. Someone asked me once, is Japan in the Bible anywhere? I'm going to close. But somebody asked me once, is Japan in the Bible anywhere? And I said, not by name, but it is in the Bible. And you say, well, where's that at? Well, it's in Zephaniah chapter 2. I'm going to close. I'm going to close. But Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 11, we'll find Japan. It's four books back from the book of Matthew in the Old Testament. Four books back from Matthew. Zephaniah chapter 2. And it says this, "The Lord will be terrible unto them, for He will famish all the gods of the earth, and men shall worship Him, everyone from his place, even all the isles of the heathen." We sang that song tonight, "Holy, holy, holy." And just like you said, preacher, God loves to hear this. And one day the whole world will be singing this song. This is the promise of God. Let me just take my book that I got here and share something with you here in Japanese. By the way, this is Japan. And you know what that is in Japanese? Japan? It's Nihon or Nippon. That's the sun, and that's the origin of the sun. The sun originates in Japan. Basically, is where Japan gets their name, the land of the rising sun. You know that? Where I was talking to my son. It was this morning, or no, last night, Saturday night. I was talking to Steve. He was in Japan, and Saturday night, it was about 5:30 here. And Steve was, it was 8:30 in the morning. Stephen was driving on his way to church. 5:30 at Saturday night, 8:30, he was on his way to church. But look at the promise that we have here in Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 11. Just a few things I want to point out here. I'm running out of paper. That's okay. It says here, "The Lord will be terrible unto them, for He will famish all the gods of the earth." I'm going to teach you something, see how smart you are. In Japanese, the word for God is kami. Kami here. And the word for God's plural is kamigami. Okay, kamigami. That's how we write plural men, all the gods of the earth. And then in the next portion it says, "And men shall worship Him." Japanese, this is man right there. You see that man standing there? You can see that, right? That's somebody standing up. And that's pronounced hito. Hito. But men, it says plural. If you write it like this, and it becomes hito bito. What was God's? Do you remember? Kami, kamigami. And people is hito bito. And then we have another one here, and it says here, and men shall worship him, everyone from his place. Now, in Japanese, that word place is translated country, everyone from his country. And in country, is written like this. This is a king in his realm, or a king in his borders, basically. And this is pronounced kuni. But it says countries there, so it's plural. So that is kuniguni. Everyone from its place, kuniguni. And what was God's? Kamigami, people, hitobito, and countries, kuniguni. And then the last one, it says, even all the isles of the heathen. That's Japan, right? Japan is an island. You write that like this. And that's pronounced Shima. But it's plural, so it's Shima, Shimajima. Shimajima. That's wonderful, isn't it? I thought you'd like to learn those Japanese words. That's fun, isn't it? You know, that's the promise that God has given us, open doors. And that's what that's the promise that we have in Zephaniah chapter 2. All the countries of the world one day will worship Him. And that can only happen if we have the missionary message going out. And God is opening those doors for us to take the gospel. And no man can shut it. And you think of Peter, the Apostle Peter. I'm not going to go into it, but in Luke chapter 5, remember when the Lord told Peter, go out and cast out his net. And Peter says, but Lord, I've been fishing all night and haven't caught anything. Then he says, but nevertheless, at thy word, I'll do it. And he went out and he caught all those fish that filled two boats worth. And Peter learned to trust God there. And then God did something with Peter. Amazing. God opened a door for Peter that has not been shut to this day. You know what door that was? That was the door of taking the gospel to the Gentile people. And you know what? We're here. We are here because God opened that door to the Gentile people and nobody has shut it. In fact, it's the Gentile people that are taking the gospel to the world today. No man can shut it. And you know, God gave that to Peter in Acts chapter 10 when he started witnessing to that Cornelius there in Acts chapter 10. And from that day to this, that door has continued to be opened. And Peter had to trust the Lord to go out and throw out his net, didn't he? He also had to trust the Lord to take the gospel to that Gentile man. And all of his apostles have been influential in taking the gospel. The key that God has given to those disciples, and now it's just beautiful what God has done for those that believe and trust in Him and do what He bids us to do. Amen? Let's pray. Our Father, I give You thanks that You allowed us to hear the Word of God and to be saved. Lord, thank You for that heritage that we have inherited. Lord, thank You that You have faithful men who brought to us the Word of God. Us as Gentiles don't deserve to stand alongside Your people, but Lord, it is us that You are using today to bring the blessed gospel of Christ to the world. And we pray that one day the Jewish people will have their eyes open to the truth of Jesus Christ and to the truth of the gospel. Until then, we pray that You'd continue to use us to help them with the gospel message, even to them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
It's a blessing to hear from somebody that still believes God is alive and God is at work. And God's not closing up shop and shutting doors. still in the business of opening doors, and I promise you he wouldn't have stayed in Japan for 42 years if God hadn't opened doors over there. But he asked a question tonight. He said about how are you involved in missions? Everybody ought to be involved in missions somehow. And folks, do not grow weary. I'm telling you, it's the heartbeat of God. And church, I was just in an Arkansas tremendous missions program, and God is blessing that church. And if we'll keep that on the front burner, God will bless here because it is His heartbeat. And not just around the world, but everywhere. Are you involved in missions? Are you giving? Are you willing to go? You know, I told the story about Jared Montgomery up at Brother Caleb's this past week, and how that he gave in his testimony here that he came forward at a missions conference because that's what he thought you were supposed to do, and just kind of trotted to the altar and said, God, I give you my life. If you want me to go, I will. Like he prayed how many times. And then during that conference, God called him to Puerto Rico, and there he is today. Are you involved in missions? Are you giving? Are you surrendered? Are you praying? Does God want you to go? Let's stand together. Thank you, Brother Carter. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. And the altar is open for anybody that would like to visit it for a moment tonight before we dismiss. Are you involved? Are you involved? Many of you are faithfully giving. You young people faithfully surrendering to God's will. The open doors.